Go with me again to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. If this message is for anybody, I feel like this is for me. A lot of times I tell you what a blessing something is to me, and so often I feel like I use up all the blessing in my study, and I don't, and there's none left for you. And I know that's not the case, but that's what I feel like. I feel like it all went in just a flood of blessing, and then when it comes back out, I ruin it, and I want to just crawl out of this place. And I don't want that to be the case. I have something that I don't have any warm and fuzzies. I don't have any cute illustrations about puppies or anything like that. But when I tell you that this is the most comforting thing I could ever imagine, this is the most comforting thing I could ever imagine. I desire that Wednesday night be a night of comfort. And I have some factual information for us that is the most comforting thing I have ever imagined. And I pray the Lord will bless this. I just want to talk about and think about and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reading through the scripture and something made me think of Hebrews 10, so I turned over here and I read these verses, and verses 12 to 17, really, 11 to 17, got my attention here, and I believe that they caused me to enter in to substitution like I've never entered into it before. The substitution of Christ with his people. And this is just amazing to me. The first three words of verse 12, this is the title of the message. But this man, speaking of Christ. That is the declaration of substitution. That is, if you're going to declare substitution to somebody, that is the declaration of it. Yes, I know you are what you are. But this man, right? I know you are how you are. I get it. But this man, I'm just so wretched, I'm just so sinful, I'm so vile, I'm so wicked. I know, but this man, turn your eyes to this man. Look at this man. Look to this man. He's the substitute. He's our substitute. Verse 11, it says, every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man. Oh, the contrast. Oh, the difference. That phrase, those three words, but this man, that phrase is in the scripture three times. Those three words back to back like that, it's in the scripture three times. All three times is such glorious news regarding our substitution with Christ. It is such an amazing blessing to see who God has substituted us with and what it means for us and what our standing before God really is in Him. All right, I want to show you all three of these places. Go to Luke 23 with me. Luke 23, verse 33, it says, "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding. And the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. But this man, he said, we're hanging here because we're worthy to hang here. We're hanging here because our vile, sinful flesh deserves to hang here. But this man hath done nothing. This man hath done nothing. Nothing amiss. That word amiss means out of place, unbecoming, improper, wicked, unrighteous, harmful, injurious, unreasonable. Nothing along those lines. This man hath done nothing like that. This man is perfect. That's what he's saying. This man is perfect. Turn over to Hebrews 7. This is the second place in the scripture that we see this phrase, but this man. Hebrews 7, verse 19. For the law made nothing perfect. The law does not make people perfect before God. The law does not make people perfect before God. All that the law does is expose our imperfections. That's all it does. The law has set the high standard and demand of God, and page by page as we flip through it, all it does is it proves to us that we break it. The law was given by God to expose our sin to us. God gave us His law just to reveal to us that we're sinners against Him. That's the reason why He gave us this law. So verse 19 says, the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. That hope is a person. By the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath. But this with an oath, by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. All those Old Testament priests, They would live for a while and die, and then another one would come along for a while and die, and another one would come along. Verse 23, they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us. There is our substitution. Jesus Christ, our high priest, became us. He didn't just stand before God on behalf of us. He became us. I don't understand that any more than you do. But that's what God said. Amen. He became us. He didn't just represent his people. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That sounds like a lawyer. He wasn't just our lawyer. He did not just represent his people. He became his people. The substitution of Christ with his people is infinitely more. And it means infinitely more than we could possibly fathom. In his sacrifice of himself, he didn't just endure death for us. Boy, I'm glad he did that so we didn't have to. He didn't just endure death for us, he endured death as us. Verse 26, for such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Oh, but this man... this man hath done nothing amiss. This man is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Now, with both of those scriptures being read, our text is the third time the phrase is mentioned. Look with me back at Hebrews 10. Verse 11 says, and every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. That's how powerful his sacrifice was. That's how powerful his offering for sin was. For 4,000 years, it was continual death. It was continual death because of sin. It was because of sin. It was death after death after death after death. Bulls, goats, sheep, doves. Literally, bloodshed on top of bloodshed. But this man. Verse 12 says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. After he offered his blood one time, the sin debt was paid. And not just paid for the year. Well, okay, you're paid up for the year. Those priests had to make sacrifices year after year after year. But after this man offered his blood one time, the debt for sin was paid. And not just past sin and current sin, all sin. From that moment, every future sin that came along, it was already paid. For who? For everybody? Did he make this payment for the whole world? No, he did not. Verse 12, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's who he did it for. Every soul that was sanctified, every soul that was set apart in the election of the Father, set apart in the redemption of the Son, set apart in the quickening of the Spirit. That's specifically who Christ was the substitute for. Verse 15, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, every time I read that verse of Scripture, this question comes to my mind. How could God not remember something? And just to reignite your energy, your listening energy, we're about to get to the part that amazes me. How could the God who knows everything, even secret things, every deep thing, every future thing, how could a God like that, how could an all-knowing God forget something? How could he not remember something? The answer is substitution. We just read two glorious things concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, he is perfect. He is perfect. He has never done anything amiss. He is holy, harmless, undefiled, completely, totally separate from sin. He has no previous record of any wrongdoing. He is perfect. That's the first thing we read. The second thing we just read is, he became us. He became his people. It sounds and it feels blasphemous to me to acknowledge the other half of this transaction. If he became us in this transaction with us, if he became us, what did we become? I can't even bring myself to say it. But let me say this. Because of the transaction of substitution, when God looks at his people in full, in their fullness, he sees the life, the entire life, the entire previous record of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he sees, because that is the reality they have. And in that reality, there is nothing to remember. There is nothing to remember. All of the sins of God's people were remembered in Christ on the cross of Calvary. Okay, you ready? All of the sins of God's people were remembered in Christ on the cross of Calvary. I hope I can make this clear. I hope when you leave here you're not confused. I hope it's clear and glorious. All of the sins of God's people were remembered in Christ on the cross of Calvary, but they were charged to him and not them. He became the one connected to those sins and not his people. They were reckoned to him and not to them. You know, like in the South, here in the South, somebody will say something and say something to somebody else. And then, you know, we don't use this terminology much anymore, but our parents and grandparents did. If the other person agreed and said, yep, that's true, that's the way it is, that's right, he'd say, I reckon. Yep, you got it, that's how it is. All of that sin was reckoned to the Lord Jesus Christ. And on him, those sins being reckoned by God as his, as Christ's, God remembered them. And God dealt with them, and God dealt with him. And just see if you can get a hold of this. All of those sins that were reckoned to Christ and paid for by Christ, they are remembered in the sense that his payment for them is remembered. I read that verse and it's like, you mean to tell me God had never had any idea that sin had to be dealt with? I just won't remember their sins anymore. Oh, it's remembered by way of remembering the payment that Jesus Christ had to make for those sins that were reckoned to him. They are remembered as being paid in full. But by his sacrifice payment, remembered. He bears the scars of remembrance right now. This do in remembrance of me. He is the only one in glory who bears any remembrance of sin. Not one of God's people has one mark of remembrance on them. All the remembrance is remembered to him. It's not connected to his people. All association with sin has been completely removed from them. There is therefore now no condemnation because there's nothing to condemn. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? There's nothing to charge with. What can you charge them with? What sin can you charge them with? What did they do? When Christ washed his people, the moment he shed that blood, one time, the moment he shed that blood, it washed his people. When he washed his people from their sin, he removed any and all connection they could possibly have with it. Jeremiah 50, verse 20, in those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. Doesn't exist. No connection with sin at all. That's the state of his people. No connection with sin. Verse 11 says, every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. That's Christ in them. I'll put my laws in their hearts, in their minds. That's the perfection of Christ in them, given to them, applied to them. Verse 16, this is the covenant I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that's to say his flesh. That means that veil, when it was ripped in the temple, that's what had to happen to the Lord Jesus Christ to allow us entrance into the Holy of Holies. His body was broken. He was torn in two. Verse 21, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Because of what Christ accomplished for us as our substitute, we are welcome and we are worthy to walk right on in. He took it all. He removed it all. He made us white as snow. As he is, that's what he made us to be. Amazing grace. Truly amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a bunch of wretches like us. The amazing grace of substitution with Christ. It's greater than anything we could possibly fathom. Just amazing. Well, to him be the glory. Amen.